investments.com to learn more. I respect this team and you should as well. Call Noble Gold right now. Tell them you heard about investing on my show and they'll find the right plan for your budget. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
I'm Kent Davenport of Quality Hearing Aids. I have listened to the progression of hearing aid technology for over 30 years, so I'm not easily impressed. But when my resident audio expert Steve Romeo had me listen to a pair of the new Liveo Edge instruments with artificial intelligence, I went, wow. When you tap them twice, you will hear, while they adjust themselves automatically for your best hearing anywhere. No more fiddling with controls. Steve says capability like this would have required a large rack of audio equipment only a few years ago. To hear them yourself, call Shelley at 369-1321. Kent Davenport, Quality Hearing Aids, 369-1321, QHALV.com, 369-1321.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Biden signed two executive orders he says will provide a stopgap measure of financial relief to millions of Americans, while Congress begins to consider his much larger $1.9 trillion package to help those affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Biden says taking action now to address the crisis will help get the country through the consequent economic crisis more quickly.
If we act now, we'll be better able to meet our moral obligations to one another as Americans. I don't believe the people of this country just want to stand by and watch their friends, their neighbors, coworkers, fellow Americans go hungry, lose their homes, or lose their sense of dignity and hope and respect.
Several Republican lawmakers have voiced opposition not only to the cost, but to provisions in the president's plan for direct payments to individuals, state and local government aid, and a $15 an hour minimum wage nationwide. The National Guard is sending thousands of troops back home from deployment in the nation's capital, but where they're staying in the interim has created controversy.
About 15,000 National Guard members are still in Washington, D.C., about half the number deployed to ensure security for Joe Biden's inauguration. But now that the security detail has ended, thousands of Guard members were told to leave the Capitol building. Politico reported hundreds were sent to a nearby parking garage, crammed close together despite COVID fears, and had to share a bathroom. Quoting one who said they felt betrayed by the lawmakers that they had been protecting. Some members of Congress responded they could sleep in their offices. Iraq War veteran Senator Tammy Duckworth says she called the military brass until the Guard's men and women were allowed back into the Capitol building. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 179 points. The NASDAQ rose 12. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, a shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
A special message to all my friends who own and operate small businesses. Hey, Kevin Wall here. When was the last time you evaluated your insurance policy? Hey, the world has changed in the last year, but has your commercial insurance kept up? That's where my friends Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance are ready to help you and your small business. Blue Sky Insurance offers fresh solutions for general liability, workers' compensation, and something new, cyber insurance. Make a New Year's resolution to review the plan that will protect your business and your income in the year 2021 and beyond. This small business insurance review from Blue Sky Insurance could actually save you money. And the consultation is absolutely free. It won't cost you a dime. I've been a client of Blue Sky Insurance for 3+ years. Their customer service is incredible. Just call or text Blue Sky Insurance at 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. Or check it out online at blueskylv.com.
It's 3:04. This KMZQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Nevada's jobless rate has dipped into the single digits for the first time since the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Silver State employers added more than 8,200 jobs in December, dropping the state's unemployment rate to 9.2%. For the first time since March of last year, the unemployment rate has now dropped below 10%. The national jobless rate in December was 6.7%. A former Clark County judge and veteran attorney has died from COVID-19. Don Cherez passed away yesterday after a nearly month-long battle with the coronavirus. Cherez came to Clark County in 1991 to be a deputy district attorney. The current Clark County DA, Steve Wolfson, who has known Cherez for 30 years, says he will always remember his friend's warm smile and compassion. Cherez had most recently been working as the Nye County District Attorney in the office there. He was 65. Well, Nevada's upcoming legislative session will begin next month by being closed to the general public, with only lawmakers, essential staff, and limited number of media members will be allowed in the building due to the COVID-19. State officials say there will also be weekly COVID-19 testing protocols for everyone concerned, as long as the building is closed to the public.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Look out for a crash on the Southern Beltway right now, 215 westbound at Green Valley. The center lane is blocked in that incident. And we're also getting some heavy volumes as you try to work your way through the resort corridor of the 15. You're slow southbound at Sahara and northbound at Sunset.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local for a Friday. It is the first Friday of the Biden presidency. All kinds of stuff's going on. We got more executive actions signed by the new president. We've got stuff going on here. Even in the state of Nevada, lots of things going on. Still trying to figure out what to do with our schools and how to get our schools reopened. We'll get to that in just a minute. First, though, we have to do what we have to do. Every Friday, we have a chance to celebrate, and we're going to do it right now because today is the best day of the week.
Oh man, what day is it?
It's Friday.
Oh yeah!
It's Friday.
Friday. What day is it?
Friday.
Oh, come on. You know better. It is Friday. I just love it. I just love it. We celebrate on Friday. Joining us now, very happy to have her, Katie Williams. She is a member, one of the new members of the Clark County Board of Trustees, District B as in boy, and she joins us. Katie, how you been?
I'm good, Kevin. How are you?
I am just fine, and I'm so glad to have you on. Welcome to the show. I got to ask you, as one of the newbies, does it take you a while to get up to speed doing this school board thing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first off, thanks for having me here. And, yes, there are so many pieces of paper that I have read in the last month. My eyes feel like they're going to fall out.
Well, and you're confronted on, like your first meeting with how do we get the kids back into brick-and-mortar schools. That is a gargantuan task. Tell me what that's like for you.
You know, so I actually ran my campaign on that aspect right there. So it was actually kind of nice to be able to deliver my very first campaign promise in my first meeting. So I was okay with it. But it doesn't come without a heavy heart, because there are so many people constantly reaching out to you and constantly trying to get your attention on this one issue. And I feel so bad for the students and the teachers that are struggling right now, because it's going to be very crazy going into this school year, and it's going to be crazy opening back up, and I think that people just are not sure how to take it, really.
The one thing, and we've talked to John Valardita, the head of the teachers union, we've talked with parents, we've talked with teachers, I have friends that are teachers that are all over the map on this issue. Do you get a sense there is any consensus on the part of parents, teachers, Dr. Jara, on getting the kids back into brick and mortar schools?
Yeah, actually, I feel everyone I talk to, they just want the schools open. They want their kids back in school. You know, Superintendent Jara wants the schools back open. The governor wants the schools back open. John wants the schools back open. We just we understand that kids cannot maintain this type of education. You see it in the grade reports, as these kids were getting A's and B's, and now they're getting D's and F's. The isolation rates are just killing these kids. And we see it. We see it all the time, and it just tears us apart.
Tell me what the options are. Well, first of all, what did you vote on last Thursday, a week ago, last night?
So last Thursday, the first thing we voted on was the MOA between the CCSD and the CCEA. Talked about bringing the students. If we brought the students back, then we would bring the teachers back and how we would do that. And then the second thing was the reopening plan approval. It was a hybrid model, but this is kind of that very first step to get us towards that first face-to-face interaction with students and teachers.
Now, one of the problems I had with that is there's no timetable. There's no start date. Tell me, do you know yet what the start date will be on that?
Yeah, so teachers were working through teleworking till the 25th of January, so that would be this coming Monday. And then they're going to start welcoming these staff members back. The reason why there was no timetable exactly is because we have 366 schools, and each school has a different capability and different need. And so we were actually going to just put the onus on the principals and say, hey, listen, you know your school better than we do. You develop a plan. Let us know what the plan is. And then through approval through the superintendent, then we can start opening these schools and get them back in there. Now, our ideal, our hope, is that mid-February these schools start opening back up, and then by the end of May we have a lot of grades open and a lot more face-to-face interaction. That way we can go into kind of a normal-ish summer, and then we can actually open back up full face-to-face in the fall. That's the goal.
Will parents still have the option of keeping their kids at home online?
Absolutely, yeah. If a parent isn't comfortable of having their student in the classroom with the teachers and their other friends, and yeah, they can still stay kind of what we would call the cohort C in the online distance education section.
And do we know, are we giving the teachers the same option?
Yeah, actually. So a lot of people look at it, they're saying that, it's mandatory, that they have to go, or they're fired. That's not the case at all. If you actually read the MOA, they'll look at it. And when principals say, okay, we have this many students wanting to come back, this is how many staff members and teachers we'll have, we are going to ask the teachers voluntarily to come back. If at that point we don't have enough staff members, then we're going to start mandating our lowest risk teachers. With all of the numbers that we have and all of the survey data that we have, we don't foresee that being even an issue.
If indeed there aren't in a given school enough teachers that want to come back. I've been told those teachers can stay with online learning or can stay home, but they'll have unpaid time off. Is that true or false?
Well, and again, that's going to be on the principals themselves. That's not something a board decides anymore at that point. We're truly trying to go towards that balanced governance style of governing, where the board just handles issues that impact students, and then the principals and the superintendent are going to impact the schools themselves. And so that's really where we're trying to fit. We're trying to give that leeway and that freedom to the principals. We don't think our principals are incompetent. We don't think our administrators are incompetent. And so we want to really see them kind of just take their onus on their schools.
Again, Clark County School Board Trustee, District B, Katie Williams, joining us. How far have we fallen over the course of the last 10 months? I mean, last year's second semester was a challenge. This first semester was a challenge. Now we're into the second semester. How much have our kids lost?
I can't even give you a quantitative number on that because you just don't know. Some kids are doing really, really well in this online world of ours, and the ones that were typically really great face-to-face are now failing. And it's very sad to see them do that because you know that they don't want to. They want to try. They are trying. And I predict that it'll probably take about 5 years to get some of these kids all the way caught back up. I hope it doesn't take that long. But, again, that's why it's so important that we get these schools open as quickly as possible to truly see where these students are when it comes to testing and everything else.
How much is going to have to change in our brick-and-mortar schools? Will there have to be changes to the physical plant, to the classrooms, to where the desks are, all of that? And how will you accomplish that in a short amount of time?
Yeah, so again, it's unfortunate because I don't have that answer. It's going to be principals looking at their classrooms, understanding what they can actually put in those classrooms, whether it's 3 feet apart desk-wise or 6 feet apart desk-wise, how many students you can put per classroom. I know that they've been redoing all the HVAC systems in all the schools, especially the older schools, trying to get more airflow in there so that they're not just cramped in these rooms. There are going to be masks and PPE. There's going to be plexiglass for things like that. There's cleaning supplies. So they are taking the precautions, you know, put in place by the governor and the Southern Nevada Health District. So it's not that they're not trying. It's just each school is so different and each campus is so, you know, diverse. It's just very hard to kind of put a blanket statement on every single one. But I know that they are trying and that they are putting their plans forward to the superintendent.
One of the silver linings from a school district standpoint is we have learned a lot about distance learning, and there are some kids that can flourish. The kids that were getting A's last year are getting A's this year. But I guess my question is, have we changed education a bit over the course of the last 10-plus months?
Yeah, honestly, I think that if 2020 taught us anything is that we don't necessarily have to have kids in school full-time if they don't, you know, if they excel outside of that. You look at online colleges. We've had online colleges for the last decade. And why have we not even integrated that into our schools that much until a pandemic hit? And so I think going forward, hopefully what this will teach us is that we can take some of these kids out of the classroom a lot sooner and actually focus these teachers' times on kids who truly, truly need that face-to-face interaction. And then the kids who are online and doing well online, I say let them go and let them keep doing their thing.
Are we going to have to
them in online classes if they can just go ahead and get through it?
Are we going to have to adjust how we educate our teachers in universities and colleges around the country, teaching them this distance learning deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think our teachers are doing a really good job. I think there are some that maybe struggle with the online portions, but some are picking up very, very quickly. I think it just kind of depends when you go from a physical platform to an online platform. There's going to be that kind of miscommunication, but they're all learning. They're all adjusting, and honestly, our teachers are giving us everything they have, and they're doing great. And, you know, it's not necessarily their fault that sometimes their students just don't, like, they can't connect with them online. It's not the same world that we lived in 2019.
Katie, I've talked with a number of teachers, in particular at the elementary level, the lower end, teachers that teach kindergarten and first and second grade. And one of the things they've told me is they think that this coming back into the schools will create problems because kids don't know how to not touch each other. They don't know how to be 6 feet apart. They don't know what 6 feet apart is in many cases. How do we go about doing that? Is that going to take some time to get the kids to adjust to this new version of learning?
Well, I can say as a mother of a five-year-old who does go to school, they pick it up actually pretty quickly. You know, most of our schools in the state are actually open. You know, you look at private schools and charter schools and all those schools out in Moab and Mesquite, they're open in their hybrid models. Those kids, you would think that they weren't going to abide by the rules, keep their masks on, you know, not touch each other. But, you know, I think it's just with that positive reinforcement, those kids can actually, you know, they learn and they pick it up. Kids aren't dumb. They figure it out.
So you're saying we may be getting kids back into classrooms, not everybody, but be getting kids into classrooms by mid-February, maybe late February?
Yeah, that's really the goal. Ideally, we'd want kids back in the schools before the middle of March at the very least, because, you know, after that, then you have March, April, May, and then May, you know, then they're shut down. So we need to focus on getting these kids back, especially these IEP kids, these high-risk, at-risk kids. We need to get them back in the class, and just so we can have eyes on them. One of the parts when we talk about equity is a lot of these kids still kind of don't have basic connection, right, or, you know, basic connectivity, and that's really hard to teach them. Those are the kids we need to bring back into the schools, and I understand where most parents want all the kids in right away, right now, and if I had my way, I would do it. But ideally, we just have to take this step by step, and this really is that first step.
The initial step is the at-risk students. Who is it that makes that call? Is it purely on a grade point average? Is it we're going to bring back F students and D students? Who makes that call, and what's the criteria?
So the principals do make the call, and they actually come up with their own testing criteria. The district is helping them work out some surveys that they're sending out to their parents this next coming week. And so then that way they're actually going to able to identify which students they think need to come back into the classroom kind of in this trial-based period.
And when do we get to the hybrid system where they're in class two days a week, online 3 days a week, or is that still a part of the plan?
That's part of the plan, yes.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Katie, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And I know there are a lot of questions that are still unanswered, but time will tell. Thank you so much for joining us. And by the way, if somebody wants to reach out to you as a member of the Board of Trustees, how can they do it? Do you have a website or what?
Yeah, well, I always have my campaign website, which is katiewilliamsnv.com. But then I also have my district email, which is WILLIKJ3@nv.ccsd.net.
Katie, great to hear from you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know we'll have you on again.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a great day.
There you go. Katie Williams joining us, Clark County School Board Trustee, District B as in boy. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Friday, the end of a tumultuous, historic week right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
Discussing the biggest issues.
It's just fundamentally offensive and frightening. It's just frightening. You say, like, who are we? How did we get to this place?
AM 670 KMZQ.
For over 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24/7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
You can always depend on your locally owned and operated Meineke for the essential service your car needs. From engine repair to oil changes, we are here to help you get back on the road. At Meineke, our expert technicians are here to help you understand the problem and the fix. Save time and schedule your next appointment online at Meineke.com. Right now, a basic oil change is just $17.95. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
If your retirement plan is on set it and forget it, it's time you take control. Tune in to Financial Safari with America's Wealth Coach and best-selling author Coach Pete DeRuta. For more than 25 years, Coach Pete has been helping people just like you plan for retirement. Join Coach Pete every week as he discusses topics like why your retirement plan should also be an income plan and how to make sure you're getting the most out of your 401k. Financial Safari with Coach Pete, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 5 p.m., and Tuesdays at 6 p.m., all right here on 670 AM KMZQ.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Happy to talk about someone I've known and respected for quite a while, Mark Hutchison. Mark most recently served as our state's lieutenant governor, and now he's back full-time at his law firm, Hutchison & Steffen. One of the ways he and his partners help businesses is when they face a dispute with the government. Sometimes clients are caught up in a blizzard of regulations, rules, or procedures of a particular government body, federal, state, county, even city. Sometimes they must appear at hearings or attempt to negotiate a resolution or even fight a decision in court. No matter the problem or the need, if your business becomes entangled with government, you need the skills of the lawyers at Hutchison & Steffen. They'll help you resolve your dispute with the government so you can focus on what you do best, taking care of business. Call 702-385-2500. That's 702-385-2500. Or visit hutchlegal.com. Get the help you need and get out of the government maze. Hutchison & Steffen, your go-to law firm for administrative and regulatory law matters.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
So good to have you with us. Great to be a part of your Friday. Tell you what, let's do it. Let's go to the phones. You want to join us, you are welcome to do so. In fact, I've got a couple of lines open right now. It's been a tumultuous, it's been an historic week. And I thought we'd spend a little time in this half hour and in our next half hour on what this means for our country. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. Let's open up with Clinical Carl. Carl, you're up. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, hi. It's a good Friday. Well, I don't mean to bring religion into it, but it's still a good Friday. Anyway, listen, I got a little problem maybe you can help me with. I hear everybody on the talk shows, especially the conservative ones, saying that Biden signed some executive orders, and one is a $15 an hour. It's going to ruin all the small businesses and ruin all the restaurants and ruin all... Well, that's only for government positions and contractors for the government. It has nothing to do with private restaurants, private small companies, private businesses, or anything. Look it up. And I'm tired of hearing all these people saying it's going to ruin the city, it's going to ruin the state.
Will you agree that it will make the cost of the federal government that much greater? The cost of doing business?
No, because now that Trump's left office, the $300 million a year he spent going to his golf courses and having everybody flying there and the planes and all aren't going to be done. And some work will be done, and we'll be saving all that money.
Well,
you understand.
I'm sorry I don't, but hey, Carl, I'm glad you called, and I thank you. In fact, tell you what, let's do. Let's go to Bob. Bob's a first-time caller. Bob, you're up. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks.
I just wanted to touch base. I happened to hear you, you know, the excerpt from the superintendent. I'm a therapist. I go to kids' homes.